And he watches over me. Who will he watches over me? And you don't know what is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, see me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love. One more time. Oh, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. And that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love. Let's make the Lord hear us this morning. Yes, and you don't know what he's done for me. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I
really love the Lord.
Amen, 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 amen. If you're visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you're truly, truly honored guest this morning. And we thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our service. It's just good to be here. Good to be alive. Good to be amongst Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you haven't gotten so used to days that you take them for granted. There are many who wish that they could be sitting where you're sitting this morning. And I know some of you may have had a bad week this week, but thank the Lord it's over, amen? And today is the first day of the week. And sometimes, you know what, you make a choice when you get up in the morning whether or not you're going to have a good day or a bad day. You can make it in your mind. All of us are going to matter. Everybody will have a challenge, some challenge, even before the day is over. Some of you might have had a flat already this morning. Flat, don't let a flat mess up your worship to God. Because it could have been worse, couldn't it? Yes, yes, yes. I want to dive into my lesson this morning. I've entitled it, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And it's a doctrinal type of lesson, a teaching type of lesson. And I know sometimes I read the Bible, I study the Bible for inspiration, for motivation. But we're living in a challenging world. I mean, I have gotten so many questions, and I was reading an article earlier this week, and this gentleman, he stated that he'd been teaching Bible class for 20 years, and he notices this trend. He deals with in this article, five reasons why the church is not growing, and one of the reasons, the first reason he stated was the disappearing youth of the church. And he made a statement that youth who grew up in the church, and I'm not talking about just the Church of Christ, just quote-unquote Christians, as the world would define Christians, but he said youth who grew up in the church, he said this, I can't confirm these numbers, but I suspect that a lot of truth is to them. He said 2 out of 3 of high school students who grew up in the church, when they go off to college, when they graduate from college, they're either agnostic, they don't know what they believe, they have doubts, or they are atheists. They've fallen away from their belief in God. And I've gotten questions this week, last week, from young people who are getting bombarded with things, doctrinal issues. One young man called me and asked me about the Apocrypha books. Another young man gave me a note after service last Sunday. A note, Brother Gary, I need you to deal with this. He saw a movie called The God Who Wasn't There. Video, this guy who made this video by the name of Brian Flemings, and it's compelling. I actually watched it on yesterday. He gave it to me last Sunday. I watched the video. It's about an hour long and almost changed my sermon today. to deal with the topic that, I say this because I want, you know, we are church, and I know many of you have been grounded in the faith, but sometimes our faith gets so shaken by things that happen in this world, and if it's not grounded on the Word of God, there are some things that can shake us up. I've decided, you spread the word, spread the news, in a couple of weeks, I'm gonna take an apologetics view of some of these topics. Not an apology view, an apologetic, which means defending the faith. Right. Defending the faith. Apologetics view with some of these topics dealing with, especially before our kids go back to school. Amen. Before our college students and grown folks. That we know from the Word of God why we believe. Basic questions like he's questioning in this movie. He's questioning whether Jesus really was, whether there is a God. Is the Bible right? And all kinds of time. I want to take a moment to deal with these in a couple of weeks, beginning maybe next Sunday, an apologetics view of some of these topics. This is a topic today that's a doctrinal issue. Can a Christian lose their salvation? I know someone may be visiting who's not a Christian according to the Word of God, and you certainly can't lose nothing that you don't have. Right. Amen. And the invitation is always open, and we understand and know, and don't, and you saints, you Christians, don't look down on folk because they still are in the investigating mode, because some of us have been there. And we have been in search of, and you may have decided that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that that is the most noble confession that any man, woman, boy, and girl can make while we're on this earth. Because I believe that one day every man, boy, every man, every woman will stand before God and have to face a God who loves the world, but who will judge us in the last day. And the question won't be how much money you have in the bank. It won't be important what you did in the PTO or in your society or what score you scored on the golf course. That won't be important. It will be that the thing you have to ask yourself is, do you have a relationship with God? Not only do you know God, but does God know you? Amen, somebody. But I want to the saints this morning to deal with this particular issue. And I'm going to extend the invitation for anyone who decides they want to be a Christian this morning. And I hope you decide that. But even before you decide you want to be a Christian, Jesus said when he was on this earth that you need to count up the cost. Yeah, see, you need to count the cost, because there is a cost for being a Christian. But Lord have mercy, there is a reward. And the reward certainly outweighs the cost in my, now so notice this, but this, that's in my personal opinion. You have to have an opinion yourself, and it has to be based on something. But I just found out now in my little short life that I'd rather live for God than live for the devil. It's not easy either way, amen? It's not easy, but there are more blessings than being a Christian. And some of us that lived a while, we understand. I'm glad I've gotten to the point now that I'm not chasing some things I was chasing when I was. I'm glad I'm there now. Dr. Charles Stanley of Atlanta, Georgia, and I have to move on, of Atlanta, Georgia, and I call his name but simply because he goes on record. He alleges that a child of God can never so sin as to be lost. And he wrote a book entitled Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? And a popular book, and it's popular teaching even today that a child of God can't be lost. I quote from him. He states, as a believer, you will never be judged for your sins. He states also, and I quote on page 39 of his book, page 74 of his book, even those who walk away from the faith have not the slightest chance of slipping from his hand. And he bases it on a couple of scriptures, but I think he does it in error. And I speak not in judgment of him, but in judgment of what he says compared to the Word of God, what it teaches. And notice this, because I know some people, we don't like to even hear sermons where you are so-called calling people out. Well, if the blind is leading the blind, the scriptures say both shall fall in the ditch. And one of the things I don't want to be guilty of as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that young man asked me, gave me that card and asked me, he said, "Bro Gary, when you have time," this is what he said. He said, "When you have time, when you going, I need you to look at this movie and I need an answer for this. I need a defense, and let me know when you're going to teach on it so I can be there, number one, so I can tell my friends, number two." That's what he said, because he's serious about his salvation. And I know that some people don't study for themselves, and some people don't read for themselves, and I don't want you believe saying, "Brother, get up to the pearly, to the gates of heaven," and say, "Brother Gary said this." Don't you go on what Brother Gary said, amen, somebody. Yeah, I played the tape and listened. This is what he taught. Because then the blood is on my hand. But notice this, it's still on your hand. And I'll tell you today, even as I teach and speak today, you listen, and if there's a question, if there's a doubt, something you study that don't agree with, come to me. I'll be glad to talk with you. But you need to have a conviction for yourself. Amen, somebody. And although we have many great assurances in our faith, I believe, according to the scripture, it is possible to lose our salvation. And that's a statement that I make, and I say according to the scripture. I'm gonna give you some scripture. So this is going to be a scriptural-based lesson, because you don't want to hear my opinion on this. Because if it was me, if I was God, everybody would go to heaven. Well, then I take that back. Because I know some people that I don't want to let in heaven. You got some of those here. I know some folk that did some things to me that they got up there. I'm like, "Yeah, you look at you now." And you know how we are. You know, we hard on people, aren't we? But you know, God is merciful. Some people, even when they hear that, they say, "See, that's why how could God send somebody to hell?" This is just me. And I don't want you judging me, but I've done some things that I'm ashamed of. I have. And so instead of me asking that question, I say, "You know what? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful, because I know I've lied too many times." See, what you ought to be doing is taking a good close look at yourself and quit making excuses and just say, "God, you've been good." The Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. See, you remember when you stole that? You remember when you lied? You remember when you cheated? Do you remember? So you need to quit complaining about why God not. God is good. If you sitting here right now, you need to get off of that one. Making that sometimes our children, they you know, you spoil them and give them things to eat and food and clothes and shoes, and they have the nerve enough after to start complaining. And you better be quiet. You're not complaining when you're eating up everything. You're not complaining when you're wearing all those shoes. You're not complaining then. Yes, you're trying to teach him something. Listen to Paul as he told Timothy. Paul told Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Are you still with me?
Yes,
chapter 1, verse 18. "This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son." Timothy is a young preacher, "in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight." See, in this life, we're in a fight. It's not a literal fist fight. But Christians, saints, know it, that in this world it is a fight. Yes. And we're not aggressively going looking for the fight, but the devil will bring the fight comes in here in the Lord's house. Yes. Somebody came in here this morning with the wrong motives.
Yes.
Didn't come here to worship. You might be coming here to make a deal. I hope if you're the devil, stand up so we can see you. Show yourself. If you're in here trying to hook up with one of our sisters and you are no good at brother, show yourself. Yeah, see, and we have to be wary. Can't be naive and our head in the sand and the Lord gonna pray. The Lord will provide, but he's given us all of our senses. Says, keeping faith, Timothy, and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Notice this. He's not talking to folk in the world. They've had a faith, but they've jumped overboard. They've run into problems, and they've left the faith. Can a Christian lose their salvation? He tells 1 Timothy again in 1 Timothy 4:1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. He says, paying attention to deceitful spirits, notice, and doctrines is teachings of demons. There is so much teaching. We have access to information, the internet, and these philosophers, and some of them are, one of the gentlemen, his name is Kersey Graves, and he has this article that he's written on the 16 other Christs, crucified Christs. And I'm gonna deal with that later on. He names all of these pagans who are before Jesus that Jesus just copied off of them. And if you're not careful, if you're not confirming, then you will believe some of that foolishness. And there are doctrines, there are purposeful teachings that would lure, and most of the people they lure are our young ones. Who are susceptible to this foreign doctrine. And Paul warned Timothy long time ago. He said, some will fall away. And that is what is happening. That is what has happened from the faith. This is what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6:9. 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction. He just simply gives a warning to the saints. And he says, not that God, money is bad, but the love of money, the greed of money, the scriptures say is the root of all evil. It is. And we might as well admit it. We need more individuals in the church who are economically secure and stable. But be careful when you're chasing that dollar. Amen. And here he gave the warning back then. He said, it has the thought that those who want to get rich, who their thought processes are all, everything they look at is in relation to what is in it for me and what is going to do for me, and all your desires on what I can have. He says, be very careful. Then he says this. He says, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Yeah, some brothers and sisters who get baptized into Christ and they love the Lord and they're excited about what they've done, but it becomes a little wary when you get antsy and you say, well, I want more out of life and I need more. Well, when you get more, what you gonna need then? You know how we are. We get the house and the car, and then you want the another house. I got this house. Now I want the house in the country. Then you get the house in the country, then you want a house by the water. And we are never satisfied. But you know what? I found out you can't live in but one room at a time. Have you found that out? You can't sleep in but one bed at a time. They tell me that, what's Beyonce's husband's name? JC. Yeah, tell me that JC and Beyonce gotta go. What'd I say? Jay-Z. Oh, excuse me. That sister say Jay-Z, Brother Gary. I'm sorry. They tell me they got a garage full of nice cars, tires tall. But they can't drive but one at a time. Amen, somebody. Amen. And I do know this, you can't take nothing with you, amen. You know, I've been there, Lord have mercy. I was in hot pursuit of that dollar for a long time. I was. I'm just admit it. I had in my mind, I know I'm going to be a millionaire. And I think I could have been. I think I could have been, but it would have cost me something. Amen. And it doesn't. Now, there are those who can manage and who can invest, those who can keep things in perspective. But Paul warns that, but Paul warned Timothy back then, if that is the only thing that's on your mind, it will take you away from God. And you know that's the truth. Thank God. Now, if a brother or sister has the ability, the mindset that they can manage, I know one good brother I know in the Lord's church right now, and I know he's a multi-millionaire, and he and I talk sometime, and he calls me up, and he said, Gary, this money, he's arrogant to a point, you know, he talks to me, and he talks a language that I can't relate to sometimes, and he said, but Gary, he said, you know, we together, we can change the world. And he motivates me. He said, we can change the world. He said, Brother Gary, you can teach, but I have money. He said, and I can use my money to share the gospel around the whole world. And I said, and I commend him for his heart, because that's what we need in the Lord's church. We need resources, but don't be fooled, bro. Yes, bro, Gary, that's me. I want to get rich so I can spread the gospel. You sure that's why? Don't fool yourself. And that Paul warns Timothy. He said, some have won. And you know, I know some folk in the Lord's church. I know some individuals in this church who, bro, Gary, don't worry about who. You just always worrying about who. Who, when they didn't have that good of a job, and they were praying and writing on their card, I'm praying for a better job, they were at Bible class, and they were at the activities, and they were at worship, and they were ministering, and Lord blessed them with yes, he blessed them, he surely did. And you saw them less, and listen, and in some cases you don't see them at all. So he's warning against. James and John warn us in James 5:19, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and it can happen to any of us. Notice this. So you're asking the question, can a Christian lose their faith? We have all types of scriptures that warn us. He says, if anyone strays from the truth. So naive ones, there is truth and error. The scriptures, God is spirit, John 4:24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And see, if you stray from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way. Notice, we're not talking about someone who is an alien sinner who's never obeyed the gospel. Somebody that's obeyed the gospel, but somehow they've got sidetracked and they've turned. If somebody restore them, that you will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Anybody know anybody that's strayed away from the faith? I'm sure we all do. And many times they're in our families. And, you know, life would do that to us anyway. Yeah. Jesus talks about the Sauls and spreading the gospel and some fall in thorns, the cares of this world, life. Life will beat us up. You get in a bad relationship. Gary, I'm divorced and I'm just, life hadn't ended when you divorce. Life don't end till you close your eyes in death. Amen, somebody. If you have breath in you, God has purpose for your life. And sometimes trouble will make it makes people fall away from God. And there's some sitting here right now who are here because someone had the heart, had the compassion to call them on the phone. Hey, you know, I am seeing you. Just calling to check on you. See how you doing? Miss you? Is there something I can pray for you? Anybody have a heart to do that? I know you do. I know there's some saints in here. Anybody in here that somebody has done that? You were in one of those dungeons, and it was a dark, dark time. And you know what the scriptures say about those who would have the heart to do that? Oh, you're not only saving somebody else, you're saving yourself. In the church, we need that. And there's some people that Brother Gary don't have influence. Well, Gary, you need to call. No, you need to call. Yeah. No, that's some folk that don't want to hear from me. They don't. Oh, he just not calling now. I've been gone 5 weeks. They want to hear from you. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's a card. Sometimes it's a call. Sometimes it's a visit. Sometimes it is the elders going to see about a person. It may be the minister, but whatever the price, don't you think it, if they make it to heaven, it's worth it? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Of course. Notice this, we can lose ours. Some folks, you know, some men, we so proud, you know, I don't need nobody calling me. I don't need nobody calling me, don't you? I know what I need to be doing. Obviously, you don't. And you know what? I'm a man, and I have pride. And now I don't need everybody calling me, you know. Because, see, some people just knows it. Yeah, I see you on this list, this delinquent list we have, and I'm just calling people, and I just, where you been? That's, if you want to minister like that, let somebody else do it. Because you don't have the heart. You're just being nosy. But some of you know somebody right now that it would take you to reach out to them. With a heart of compassion, with a heart of knowing that I could be in their place. Not being nosy, just that God loves you and so do we. And Timothy warns, he warns, and he warns and he encourages. And John, James does. Listen to 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. Watch yourselves that you might not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward, is what 2 John says. That you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Can a Christian lose that salvation? Yes, you can go too far. You can teach too something that God has not taught. Amen, somebody. Listen to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Galatians 5, 19. And I want to get these passages in so you know they're coming from the Word of God. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evidence. I don't want this to be a negative, but listen to this. Which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Now notice this. Sometimes the Bible just spells it out. This for people who act like they don't know what sin is. The scripture calls them deeds of the flesh. Does everybody in here have flesh? We're all susceptible. And this should put everybody on the same level playing field. Nobody in here should be full of pride. Matter of fact, nobody here need to be talking about anybody. Because he's a homosexual. You a liar. No, excuse me, not you. But they before God, they all are evil deeds and deeds of the flesh. And so don't compare sin to sin. And he says this now. Let me finish reading, and carousing. And then he goes, and things like these. So he says, I don't see mine on the list. What is it? Say it out loud. It's probably one of these things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Because see, some folks gonna miss heaven because they just hard-headed and don't want to listen to nobody and just flat out stubborn. They can be doing wrong and won't admit it. Let me finish reading. Then he says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not. And you, if you go to the first part of Galatians, you see that he's writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. Brother Gary, that's for folk in the world. No, that's to the, you mean, Brother Gary, people, when they become Christians, they do this stuff? Hello? You know it's the truth. And I noticed this. Now, I love this passage. Sometimes I don't like to read it, but I was reading it earlier this week, and I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Notice this. Those who practice. Now, we're not talking about, okay, see, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. That's why I don't. Somebody might be visiting and say, well, you know what? That's too tight. And I just, you know, I just might as well take my chances on my own because I know I can't do that. Those of you that's Christian, God is not talking about you having a lapse in judgment and making mistakes. Don't you know we all do that sometimes? Yeah. This is the God honest truth. It's been a long time. I just tell too much of my business while I'm up here. I'm going to tell this to Brother Frank. Me and Frank can relate because he's just as bad as I was. Amen. It's been a long time since I cursed. I hope I'm not lying when I say that, Lord. And I never have been a big cursor. Brooke, why are you talking about curse? Just let me finish. But you know, the scriptures say out of the mouth comes cursings and blessings. But these things ought not to be so. From a fountain shouldn't come dirty water, amen. From a clean fountain. And so that's something that somebody in here might need to be working on. Well, Brother, somebody might need to be working on. But I am cursed in a long time. But every now and then, people get on your nerve, don't they? And you might say, you know, that's not my problem. That's not my sin. That's not my, me too, Brooke. I am cursed. You just haven't been in a situation that somebody pressed you that hard in a long time. But if you don't watch out, you can get in a situation where somebody can get on your nerves. Somebody can cut across you. Somebody can lie. Somebody can do some things. I tell you what, I've been close a few times. And see, notice this. Those who practice, you know what practice is? Those who habitually, those who it seemed like you, it's a regular routine. You just do it over. Now notice, we're talking about Christians. Now, Brother Gary, I'm struggle, but don't acknowledge that it's wrong. And keep working on it. I don't want to be a preacher that preaches no hope Christianity. Because I know that we are Christian saints living in this world. We all have struggles that we struggle with. But all at the same time, don't you get in your mind that God is going to accept you like you are. And that's the teaching that's coming down the pipes. And it's soothing people's hearts. And it's making them thinking that, yes, I can do this. I can steal as long as, you know, I'm struggling with it, but that's the way I make a living. So I do this, and that's my struggle because I'm stealing. But I got to steal. No, you don't. What you need to do is stop. What you need to do is acknowledge that you have an issue. If you need to get some help, you need to get some help. Lord, I mean, you think they're talking about this homosexual issue. Some of us, that's just wrong. Yeah, it is. It's sin in God's eyesight. Yes. And there's some things, I'm not a doctor, and I don't know. Some people say, well, I'm born with this. I don't know. I never met a baby that was born that knew what they were when they were born anyway. Right. I haven't met a baby. Baby can't talk, so they got to learn something. But there seem to be some people have a tendency, you know. I'm just, you know, and they just, it's the struggle that they have, and it's a struggle. But you can't make the struggle right. And if you don't acknowledge, first of all, in your mind, sin is transgression against God's will. That's what it is. If you don't acknowledge that it is, you're not going to deal with it. Amen. That's the same excuse some people give about lying and stealing and cheating. With my father, my grandfather, my uncles, all of them had a woman on the side, Brother Gary. I learned it from them. Well, you need to learn. Stop. You need to learn from God that that's not what you need to be doing. Stop making excuses. Because he says, who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the scripture says. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 20. I'm going to try to bring this plane down. Everybody's all right? Don't take this the wrong way. Don't take this the wrong way. But I the gospel, our salvation is too precious. And we don't need to be walking around on a cloud in fantasy land thinking that we all right. Yeah, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's just the Lord going to take care of me. And, you know, this is just how I am. But I'm coming to worship service on Sunday. Or I'm not coming at all. Some folks who we see sometimes, I was baptized a year ago. I haven't been there in a while, but the grace of God. You heard one of those sermons on television where you said, or some of the preachers said nobody can snatch you out the Lord's hands. And we see in scripture over and over again the encouragement. You know, the majority of the New Testament is written to Christians trying to encourage them to stay faithful in the Lord. If that were the case, if we're saved by grace alone, there wouldn't be no need for the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's how you escape. That's why. See, if you study the Bible and you read the Bible and it's convicting you over and over again, and it's telling you what's right, because see, that's why it's easy for a lot of folk to get off on a binge and do what they want to do, because they have no contrast. You watch a television, kids think it's normal for couples to live together and not be married, because that's all they see. And it's become acceptable in society. He says, they are again entangled in them and overcome. So if you've escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are entangled again in them, that's the defilements, and overcome. The last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. Is that in your Bible? And sometimes somebody might be here right now. Ooh, bro, girl, I wish I hadn't read that even in the Bible. Well, ignorance is not bliss. Just because you don't know, that don't help you anymore either. But you know, when you know to do right and you know it from the Word of God and you know the knowledge, you know what the Word teaches, don't reject Jesus' words. Don't reject the commandments. Now, they are not grievous for us, but listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, 27. Hebrews 10, 6, 27. For if we go on sinning willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that's the key, the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Jesus is not coming to die on the cross again for our sin. Yeah. Notice, I use the word practice. Use the word willing. See, don't be willing. Don't be willing. Don't give in. I know it's a battle. I know it's a struggle. Well, you know, I have had people calling me struggling with things, but again, it's a struggle. Keep fighting. Don't ever say in your mind that I can't do it. Don't ever say I'm giving up. Because I do believe when you are saved, we serve a merciful God. But we can't come to God arrogantly. It is at his knees we bow. You know, I pray a prayer sometimes because you try to work and be busy in the Lord and minister, because some of us think we're going to work our way into heaven. You're not going to do that either.
Amen.
Because some people work for just to be seen. I did this, Brother Gary. Y'all going to put my name in the bulletin? We're saved by grace through faith. But I ache because I feel, I said, oh, Lord, please, please see my heart. Feel my, and the scriptures attest that God looks at the heart of a man, a heart of a woman. God knows when you willfully are defying him. And God knows when you're seeking him. That's why the scriptures say, seek ye first the kingdom. Notice this, the kingdom of God and his, don't make wrong right. My brother Gary, my family was hungry and I had to steal. Now, brother, I'm not arguing with you. I know we do what we need to do to survive, but don't make wrong right. Because, see, you, even when it's time to do right, you still will do wrong. Yeah, and I just, he says this. The brother read and you hear in our scripture in Hebrews 10, verse 38 and 39. I need to stop. But my righteous one shall live by faith. So then faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The word of God is our standard. That's the standard. It is what guides us. It is what drives us. It is what leads us. Now, our faith comes from us, our belief, but it is our response to God's word. God's word is right. God's word is righteousness. Why? Just because he said it. And he makes all of the rules. But his rules are life for us. He says, shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. Can a Christian lose their salvation? We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, Colossians 1:10, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast and unmovable. Galatians 6:9, we will reap if we do not give up. Revelations 2:10, the latter part of that verse, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Philippians 4:9, practice these things, then God will be with you. Let me read this last passage before I close in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, and that's our part, giving all diligence, we have a part to play. Yeah, don't expect God to pour everything into us. Yes, you had to get up this morning. You set your clock. You got up this morning. You had on your mind that you come in to worship and serve God. Some of the seats are empty this morning because somebody didn't win that battle this morning. That's the diligence. And some of us have it on our minds. We have it on our calendars. We know we're coming. We know, and it's not all about just coming to worship service. But it takes diligence. That's our part. Our mind. It's what God gave us, the volition. He gave us the choice when he made us in his own image after his own likeness. And we have to have some diligence. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Anybody need to work on some of these things? And add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, share. That's why we're on a journey that won't end until our life ends. Now that you get one thing right and you keep working on something else. Well, I know the word and I love the word and I memorize all the scripture. Well, you need to treat your wife right now. You need to learn how to be kind to folk. You can't get along with nobody. Something wrong with that picture. For these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, he uses the word again, to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Anybody want to go to heaven this morning? I thought you did. I just this was compelled by some questions and some other things. I know it's scriptural, I know it's doctrinal, but we need to hear this in the Lord's house as Christian saints. Because see, some of us, we treat our salvation too lightly. Some of us hit and miss, and well, you know, we say, don't get caught in between. And we don't realize what we have. And we need to be consistent with the Lord. You know, we need to be in the right place, doing the right things at all times. Yes, we depend on Lord God's grace and his mercy, but we don't take his mercy and grace for granted. You're here today, and you're not a child of God. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11 and 6. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5, I tell you, nay, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, with your heart believe, whosoever therefore shall confess me before me and him, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10, 32. If you want to be saved this morning, if you'll be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Mark 16, 16, Acts 2, 38, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. God adds you to the church, the saved in the church, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47. If you be faithful unto death, don't take off. Don't take on vacation. One sister, Brooke here, when I go on vacation, you know, sometimes you pray for me because I lose my way sometimes. Just because you're in Hawaii, God still is in Hawaii. Amen, somebody. Yeah, I got on that cruise boat, and I don't know what happened to me on that cruise boat. God watches over the waters also. Amen, somebody. Let's stay faithful. Let's be honest with ourselves. Don't play games with God. God know all the games. You're here today, and you want to be a child of God. You can be. You're here today, you need church to pray for you. You're here today, you need to get something right. Won't you do it right now as we stand and sing the song?
Just as I am without one plea, but that